From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Natural Beauty is the debut novel by Ling Ling Huang. This behind-the-scenes look at the beauty industry examines issues of consumerism, as well as race and identity, and even self-worth. And get this, the book has already been optioned for a TV series, even though it just went on bookshelves on April 4th. So we're lucky enough to have the author, Ling Ling, join us today. It's really nice to have you on the program.
It's so nice to be here.
So I'm so curious about where you came up with the idea of this novel and maybe set the premise of it for us as well.
Sure. Natural Beauty is about a really talented pianist who has to give up everything, a like, super promising career, so that she can support her parents after they have a terrible accident. And she ends up in this high-end wellness and clean beauty store that promises to make you your best self. And as she works there, she starts to see just how unregulated and sinister things might be under this beautiful veneer of, you know, gorgeous products and glass vials.
Well, and this is the part that I think is fascinating to me, is that I think that we have an obsession in our country in particular with, and I'm putting in air quotes, so-called health and wellness, right? Like where's the fountain of youth? If I throw this on my face, or if I drink this or do that. And it's almost like there's such a fear of aging, right? And aging well. Did that play into any of your decision to write the book or the things that you brought up in the book?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like a lot of the book is kind of an exploration of like, what won't we do to look young and to look beautiful as we've been told to look? And I mean, you know, there are like parasites in hair that, but I feel like a lot of the procedures are things in 5 to 10 years that would exist and that we would all be interested in if they make our lives easier, if they make us more beautiful, and if they make us look younger for longer.
Mm-hmm. And my understanding is, Ling Ling, you worked in a wellness store in New York City, right? I mean, so you kind of have some actual boots on the ground experience in this.
Yes, I worked at a high-end wellness and beauty store in West Village, pretty briefly, but it was enough for me to be kind of fascinated by how. Sorry,
it opened your eyes to the industry.
It opened my eyes to the industry, and I drank the Kool-Aid hard when I first worked there. I was getting shots in the butt just randomly on my shifts, and I was taking all kinds of things that, you know, I didn't know what the ingredients were. I just knew they were supposed to be great for my hair. And you know, you don't know the sourcing on these things. You don't know where they're being made. It's all so unregulated. It's a new industry, but it's already become a $1 trillion industry because it really kind of acts on all of our deepest fears, which are aging and aging, you know, poorly.
So can we talk about, I mean, you talk about race and identity in this book. I mean, the main character, I mean, she is of Asian descent. And, you know, because once again, I think this goes to also what we mentioned about like our obsession with health and wellness. But I think it's also our obsession with kind of that, I guess, stereotypical Euro look, right? I mean, which is white, blonde, blue-eyed, right? I mean, even if you're Caucasian, I think sometimes you all wish you had blonde hair, right? And and so how does that play into then the beauty industry in the sense that in your experience, is the beauty industry changing at all to be more inclusive?
I feel like I have seen a shift toward inclusivity, but being inclusive for the beauty industry and for a lot of these industries just means, you know, having more customers, increasing their bottom line. So on the face of it, it looks great and I'd rather have inclusion than not, but it's really just, look, here's a new group of people that we can manipulate through fear. And So there is a dark side to that inclusivity. And I wrote all of that from my own experiences of kind of growing up in Houston, where not too many people looked like me when I was growing up. And I definitely would have loved to assimilate to the level that the main character does at a certain point. But there are consequences, and you do lose so much when you assimilate. And I had never thought about that until I was working at the store and kind of realizing, what a lot of these products really aim to do is to make you feel more comfortable. And I would feel more comfortable if I looked wealthier and in a lot of ways looked whiter.
Well, and I think too, there's this idea that there's something wrong with us as women, right? There is inherently the reason why we need these high-end stores, right? We need all of these products. I mean, you write about stuff that takes bad Botox out, right? I mean, so let's not put it in, let's take it out, and then let's get like what, spider webs for eyelashes. I mean, all of these, it sounds crazy, but I'm like, oh, I could see people doing that. I could totally see people doing those things, right? I mean, it's
I
you,
totally can too.
right? And with that, but I feel like it goes back to this whole concept that as women, we are not okay the way we are, right? Our bodies are either too big or too small. We either have, the wrong hair or the right kind of hair. I mean, you can just go on and on and on, and it is such a it's so ingrained in our culture that I don't know if we can necessarily just put the blame on the beauty industry, or is it, or is it the fact that women have just never been enough within our society? Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. I think it is definitely like a patriarchal and capitalist system that's gotten us to this place. There's a quote I really love by the philosopher Sandra Lee Bartke, where she talks about femininity as a setup because it requires such extensive measures of bodily transformation that any woman who tries essentially is destined to fail. And I've definitely felt that. I mean, we have goals for our weight, our hair, we constantly have these goals, and it keeps us distracted and focused on our bodies. And that's why maybe, we don't have some of the other things that we would love to have in our society and that we desperately need, but because all of these problems have been invented for us to solve.
And then on top of it, as you write about in the book with health and wellness, right? That then adds to that distraction. It adds to that not feeling good enough.
Absolutely. And it's completely systemic because it is one of the only ways that we've had power historically is by our looks. So I don't begrudge any women or myself for, I don't think of it as complicity when we make these choices to better ourselves. I think of it as like, unfortunately, it is the only way we have economical and social power in a lot of ways. And that's what really needs to change. And hopefully, by reading the book, people will ask more questions. Am I buying this product because I've been made to feel insecure about something, or will it actually make me happy and productive about the things that I actually care about in my life?
See, I love that because I think that you're right. I mean, I think that it's to say that, oh, women shouldn't get anything done, right? Don't get work done, or don't buy, don't buy good face cream or whatever, right? Like, that's not realistic. And it is, I think, I mean, everyone has their limitations of maybe what they're willing to do or what they're willing to spend. But to say that women just should throw all of that out, I don't think is the answer. But it's a matter of don't allow it to take, your power away, because we already have enough. We have other, we have so many outside sources that are trying very actively to do that.
Yes, really. And we shouldn't participate that in that any more than we can or
So I want to switch gears really quick and talk about the fact that your book, as I mentioned, has been optioned for a TV series. And it's by Constance Wu, the actress Constance Wu. People may know her in the movie Crazy Rich Asians, which I loved the series of books, loved the movie. How did all that happen? I mean, as I mentioned, your book just came out this last week.
Yeah, I was really surprised. This is my debut novel, so I don't have any experience in the industry. By trade, I've been a violinist. But after I got the book deal, my agent was like, okay, and these are other agents who are interested in meeting with you. And I was like, are you dropping me?
Yeah.
It was film TV agents. And then so I met with a bunch of film TV agents and managers, and I went with a really fantastic woman in agency, United Talent Agency, and they set up, I think, 10 different meetings for me of people who were interested in developing the material. And it was such a surprise that so many people in, I guess, Hollywood had been reading, you know, this basically first draft, which, you know, because then I had a year of editing and passes until the book that is now on bookshelves is out. But it had been being read and passed around. And so I met with, I mean, they were all so fantastic, but I've always loved Constance Wu's work. And it was such a pleasure to meet with her. And then a show I had watched right before these meetings happened was Yellow Jackets, first season. I loved meeting with the producers of that show as well. And so they're actually going to be teaming up to do it together.
And what's that like for you? I mean, it's not just to see your, you know, your book, right, in physical form, the words that you put to paper, but now there's going to be this interpretation of that. I mean, on television, and as you said, this is your debut novel.
Yeah, it's really wild. I think I'm just really excited to see what they do with the material. I think I'm, from my background as being a violinist and having to do so much chamber music and collaborative work with other people, I'm very trusting of the people that I choose to work with. So I'm just very excited, yeah, to see what they come up with. And hopefully it's something that does kind of make people ask questions and open up the imagination. So I would love to see how that's being reinterpreted by other people and how it looks on screen.
Well, I have to say, good luck to you. Thank you for writing this book. I mean, I do think it just brings up such questions that we need to be asking ourselves. So thank you. And best of luck as you move through this process.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Ling Ling Wong about her debut novel, Natural Beauty. It is out on store shelves right now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast and its latest series, Taking Cover.